Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. One announcement I need to make. The monthly business meeting scheduled this afternoon at 4:30 has been postponed. We have two of our elders are out today, so we're going to postpone that business meeting, but we'll let you know when it'll be rescheduled. So it is good to see each of you here this beautiful Lord's Day. Beautiful Lord's Day. That'll make sense in a few minutes. We've been doing a series on the Sermon on the Mount. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sort of goes back and touches base on each of the Beatitudes at various points. Some weeks ago, we talked a little bit about sort of the two things that are overarching through the Sermon on the Mount. One is that Jesus really invites his followers to have a personal identity in him. And what does this look like? And so these three chapters in the book of Matthew sort of describes the life of a believer of Jesus and sort of how that infuses everything there is about your life. And then the second was sort of how to have an ethical decision-making process. We've talked about how you treat your enemies as we did last week and relationships, what marriage looks like, and all these other things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount are very important for us to sort of embrace as we go through this study. I've counted eight, but it may be more like eight or nine lessons that we've done so far on the Sermon on the Mount. John will be doing another one tonight, so we encourage you to sort of be here so you have the context of the whole thing. So, trivia question. A lot of lessons on the Sermon on the Mount. What's the very first word that Jesus says? He begins the Sermon on the Mount with this word. What is that very first word that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed. So blessed, that's right. So blessed are the poor in spirit. And he begins these Beatitudes and he talks about what it means to be a chosen one of God and all the blessings that accompany it. And these blessings are not commandments. These are blessings or what happens when you experience these things. So he begins the sermon with this proclamation of blessing. Matthew chapter 6, 24 is we're going to pick up at the text this morning. Verse 25. Jesus sort of expands this concept of blessing. So Matthew chapter 6, 24 through 34, I'm just going to read it. Then we're going to sort of break it down a little bit. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? Is life not more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So do not worry about clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is Jesus expanding, if you not will not, exploding the ideal of what it means to be blessed. And he's speaking to the people this day, that people not so dissimilar to us. They had needs. They need to eat. They need to have nourishment. They need to have their bodies clothed. But they had other worries and concerns, no doubt. And I don't know what your biggest worry is this morning. It may be about personal things. It may be about a sick family member. It may be about your kids. It may be about finances. It may be about relationships. It may be about something that's really wearing you down this morning. But I need to tell you this morning, from the mouth of Jesus, that you are blessed. You're blessed. And blessed people really have little to worry about. So we're going to spend some time this morning really with Scripture to understand how we need to handle this. Now, some of us are dispositionally, we don't worry about anything hardly. We don't. And some of us are just so wrought with worry. We don't know a moment of our life that it's worry-free. In fact, we worry when there's nothing to worry about, thinking there may be something I need to be worrying about. Now, don't be poking fingers and poking each other while I'm talking like that. But from a biblical perspective, from heaven's perspective, blessed people have little to worry about. Three reasons not to worry. Three reasons not to worry. One, from the Sermon on the Mount, you are important. You're important. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I've been impressed this year with these robins and the redbirds. And there's some little funny looking bird in my house. I don't know what it is. It sort of looks like a cardinal because it's got a little funny thing, but it's black and gray. But it's outside, hanging outside on the deck every morning. The other morning, we have a what's that purple flower called, Tammy, that's blooming right now? The wisteria blooming. The other morning, and it was covered with yellow little goldfinches all over the place. You know what? They don't worry. They just eat. And who feeds them? God does. And if God has provided in His world and His creation a means and mechanism by which they're provided for, you're more important than they are. You're very important. In fact, so important that God so loved you, John 3:16, that He sent His Son to die for you. And you're important. Because the gospel, what's the gospel, church? The gospel is for you. That's how important you are. So in light of that, you're a blessed person, and blessed people have little to worry about. Point two. Worry doesn't change a thing. It don't. It's like a rocking chair gives you something to do, but don't get you anywhere. I've seen them here at church, those little fidget things kids have now. You know, you seen them? You know, they'll be a while for the outlaw of those things, probably. Like the clackers, you know, we had the clackers. But those were developed for kids with ADHD originally to give these people who have had the hyperkinetic movement something to focus on. Now they're mainstream popular things. So gives you something to do, but doesn't really get you anything done, does it? But worry does not change a thing. But out of the mouth of Jesus, Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? You can't worry yourself tall, folks. You can worry yourself to death. We know that reaction, it's not always what happens to you, but it's how you react by what's happened to you that sometimes affects what happens to you. You can't worry yourself out of it. Now, the problem of it is that some of it has been reinforced by the work of worry. But that means, has this ever happened to you? You worried about something and worried about something and worried about something and worried about something and it didn't happen? How many of you have done that? How does that feel? It didn't happen. Thank you, Lord. Then what happens? Next time you have something to worry about, what do? You put the same amount of effort in it as if that kept it from happening. It's a good thing I worry about that so it didn't happen. What? From heaven's perspective, Jesus said, listen, I've already said you're blessed. How many times I got to say it in a different way to be blessed than the Beatitudes? But worry doesn't change anything. Now, it tends to reinforce itself because most of the things you worry about don't ever happen. And that immediate powerful release, oh, it didn't happen, reinforces likely you're going to do the same thing again. It's like, if some of us know what this is, a payphone with these devices to put on the wall or in the boxes and stuff like that, and you put money in it and you make phone calls on. Okay, some of the kids have never seen a payphone before, okay, or used one. But they have these little coin returns, okay. How many of you ever checked the coin return even though you didn't put any money in it, say there's money in it? Okay. Would you still do it again? Yeah. What happened? You got reinforced. Okay, you got reinforced. Behaviors that we do get reinforced. So we're really not careful that we reinforce ourselves to worrying. Some of us inherited the tendency to worry because that's what your family did. They're worried. Worried, 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 worried. I knew a man who said that his mother was terrified of storms. This was a grown man. His mother was terrified of storms. So they lived in a little house in Jackson County. Every time a storm came up, she got all the kids and made them sit in the middle of the iron bed with covers over their head. I mean, that's like a lightning rod, right? But he still said, I still feel like if I get back to that iron bedstead, I'm going to go okay. And so he's afraid of storms. So worry doesn't change anything. Third reason. You have more important things to do. More important than worry. One, you're blessed. There's no reason to do it. Okay. It doesn't change anything. And the third reason is that you have more important things to do. In fact, from the mouth of Jesus, instead of worry, in fact, my Bible has a heading over this whole passage, and it says, don't worry. Does your Bible have that? Just don't worry. Okay. And so Jesus, but instead of worry, if I can add that in there for clarity, but instead of worry, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, clothing, food, shelter, anything you want to worry about will be taken care of. It'll be added to you. Seeking God's will, God's kingdom first, takes care of everything I need. That is the most important thing. Jesus in the Gospels on other occasions say, what would a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his whole soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? He said, well, I wouldn't take anything for it. What about the luxury of worry? You see, it's hard to worry and praise God at the same time. It's sort of like rubbing your tummy, patting your head, and tapping your foot. You can't do it. It creates a cognitive dissonance. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things be added to you. It's a very simple thing. Jesus begins with a pronunciation of blessings. And he comes back and talks about relationally how that looks like and how we as blessed people should behave ourselves and how we should treat one another. And he comes down to Matthew chapter 6 and he begins to say, you know, just don't worry. Now, let me ask you this. How many times does Jesus have to say something for it to be a commandment? Once. Twice he says it here. Do not worry. Now, question is, can worry lead to sin? Now, I'm not saying if you worry, you're going to hell. No, don't mistake me out of context. But can worry lead to sin? Jesus associated worry with a lack of faith. Now, is that troublesome? To be accused of having a lack of faith? Yes, to some degree, because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I have some suspicions, but I don't know for sure. But I know this person probably knew this text in Matthew, because it sort of sums it up, doesn't it? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. That is God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things be added unto it. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? So the problem with worry, it may make us reach for the wrong thing. If we're not really careful, instead of reaching out to God, we may reach to our lucky rabbit's foot. Or we may reach to something we think that brings us luck. Some people are so overcome with worry they have to be medicated out of it. And I'm not demeaning anxiety, folks. I treat folks with it. I work with folks with it. Okay. But the solution to your problem is not a pill. It's the Lord. It's not a bottle. It's the Lord. And if my worry is there and I can develop a relationship with God that deepens and makes it stronger, to which I find faith in him and comfort in him and not in something else, guess what? My faith has grown deeper, hasn't it? See, worry's an issue because people will gravitate to almost anything that will alleviate their anxiety and fear. And it may not be God. It could be a person. It could be your teddy bear or whatever it is that you turn to instead of God could cause you to sin. I'm not saying having a teddy bear is sinful. But I'm saying anything you put in place of God could be. And don't say that Mark is saying that worry is sin. I'm saying it could lead to sin. It can lead you to turn to people, situations, places, things other than God that may lead you astray. So we have to be very careful because worry may make us reach for the wrong thing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 34, therefore do not worry about for tomorrow. For tomorrow, worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, Sunday is the Lord's day, right? But some of us dispositionally think that's just Monday Eve. And we begin worrying about tomorrow on Sunday. It's like, God gave me a whole day to worry about tomorrow, next week. We need to live fully in the moment, Jesus says. Don't worry about what might happen tomorrow because you know what? This is a broken world. Jesus isn't saying it's all sunshine and rainbows tomorrow. He said tomorrow's going to be tough. It's Monday. But you can't borrow trouble. Now, that was something I grew up hearing. I did not know the person's mouth that came out of because I didn't know her, but it was my great-grandmother, Jane Goolsby Brown, Mammy Brown to everybody in the community. Mammy Brown was a midwife. She was the closest thing to a doctor in the community, okay, in many respects. She was a faith healer too. Mammy Brown had a bunch of kids and a blind husband. her husband's blind. And she raised a family that way. And all my life, I heard Mammy Brown quote it. Don't borrow trouble. Don't borrow trouble. Don't borrow trouble. Now, in the context, I realized that that woman must have lived that out, or she would probably went insane because life was hard. And my aunt would say, on top of that, they lived right on the main road that walked between the depot area, the railroad, and the crossroads there at Double Springs. And Pat Brown would sit on the front porch, and he could hear people walk down the street, and he'd invite them to lunch or dinner. Oh, come on and eat. So Mammy Brown never knew she's feeding her family and grandkids and stuff, or half the community, because he would, oh, y'all come on and eat. People would. But she's a woman who said, don't borrow trouble. I think she's a woman of deep faith. For someone who say, there's going to be enough problems tomorrow without worrying about them today. So sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's what Jesus is saying from the words of his mouth. He said, don't worry. Now, I want to do a reframe on it. Because you're going to have trouble. But trouble is an opportunity for us to show our faith. Right? And people say, how do you deal with all you deal with the Lord? I couldn't get through this if it wasn't for the Lord. Now, any of us could say that as we grow in faith, right? It's the Lord. Opportunity, trouble is opportunity for us to show our faith, not to minimize it, but actually to amplify it in the world. Jesus said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus says, tomorrow will take care of itself. Jesus said, be these. Jesus said to be salt and to be light. And what I need to understand is that how I handle worry could have a positive or negative effect on my fellow man. People around me. The people that God puts in my life. If I say I'm a blessed person, if I say I'm a child of God, if I say that I am the child of the King Most High, that I have a place reserved for me in heaven, that I know my salvation. If I say these things, and worry is destroying me, that's a juicy one. I'm eating lemon. You're making the face. Why are you making the face? My lemon. You see, God wired us to react to other people's experiences based upon our own subjective experiences. On a neurological level, we call these things mirror neurons. But you have a part of your brain's got activated when I start eating this lemon. Now, those are necessary to have empathy, by the way. God hardwired us for empathy. Worries that way? You see, my worry can have a negative impact upon other people. If I say I'm a person of faith, but don't act faithful, if I say I'm a person of faith, but don't have peace, if I say I'm a person of faith, but don't have an abiding experience of peace in my life, I can have a negative impact upon other people. So I can reframe my trouble and say, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I think, praise the Lord, have a chance to show what a person of faith can do when there's real legitimate worry. So my reactions to worry can have a negative impact upon other people. I have to be mindful of that, because Jesus told me to be these things, to be salt and to be light, to be different, to differentiate yourself from the culture around you. Our faith is not in other things. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have an opportunity to be mindful of how I react could have an impact upon other people. Positive or negative. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The challenge we have to understand is in context of who we are as the people of God. There are things out there who are really scary things. The unknown, the uncertain things. But we're people who walk by faith. We don't know what the future may hold, right, church? But who holds the future? Who holds the future? God does. I don't know what it may hold, but I know who holds it. So whatever is there, guess what? God's already there. So we're challenged sometimes in understanding that worry and faith are opposite reactions to uncertainty. Opposite reactions to uncertainty. Some people worry. Some people say, well, don't know what's going to happen, but the Lord's there already. Whatever happens, the Lord's going to be with me, right? That's what Paul says. That's what a memory verse said, right? So, in the event this morning that if your knees are shaking from worry, try what? Kneeling on them. It's awful hard for kneeling knees to shake. Treatment to worry is prayer. A treatment to worry is calling forth what you already know Scripture's revealed to you, that you are blessed. You are blessed. So I'm going to leave you with a memory verse. What's a memory verse, church? Do what you will with it. But one of the great things we have as a body of believers is the opportunity to come together, to worship God together, but also to share one another's burdens. And Paul says that's fulfilling God's law and the law of Christ. So if you're here this morning, and there's only one group of people here, I say you have a right to worry, and that's people outside the Lord. If your life's not right with the Lord, you have a right to worry. That is the most important thing you should be worrying about. If you never confessed Jesus, your Savior, never been buried with Him in baptism, you have a right to have sleepless nights. Now, the good news is that we can solve that really quick. So you have a right to be uncomfortable, because that's the most important thing. Because Jesus is talking about blessings that come in relationship to Him. And so the most important thing is to make sure your relationship is right with Jesus this morning. But there's really no reason to worry about that, because we can fix that really quick. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we would love to witness your confession, to assist you in baptism this morning. But if you're here this morning and you're just burdened, you just need to be unburdened, we'll also spend time with you in prayer this morning. But if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, would you come and sing Chris's song, Chris's Selected.